We're going to open, as we have, in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 9 through 17. I want to read that from the Message translation. As we have been, I think it's good to start here. And starting in verse 9 of the Message translation, it says, "But you are the ones chosen by God, chosen for the high calling of priestly work, chosen to be a holy people, God's instruments to do his work and speak out for him, to tell others of the night and day difference he made for you." That's what we're supposed to do, tell our testimony. What did he do for me? And verse 10, "From nothing to something, from rejected to accepted. Friends, this world is not your home, so don't make yourselves cozy in it. Don't indulge your ego at the expense of your soul. Live an exemplary life among the natives so that your actions will refute their prejudices. Then they'll be won over to God's side and be there to join in the celebration when he arrives." Now, picking up in verse 13, it says, "Make the master proud of you by being good citizens. Respect the authorities, whatever their level. They are God's emissaries for keeping order. It is God's will that by doing good, you might cure the ignorance of the fools who think you're a danger to society. Exercise your freedom by serving God, not breaking the rules." Verse 17, "Treat everyone that you meet with dignity. Love your spiritual family. Revere God. Respect the government." So this is more appropriate today, that as we go out in society, instead of breaking the rules, we're to do what? Observe the rules, obey the laws of the land. And if we don't like the laws of the land, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to find ways to get those changed in a peaceable manner. And says here, treat everyone with dignity. Love the brotherhood. Love the brethren, meaning your spiritual family. Revere God, and as King James says, honor the king and respect the government. Now, I wanted to look at today, talking about the love of God, just talking about God is love, and there's so much that we want to share, but one of the things that I wanted to start looking at this lesson in is looking at John 3:16 and 17, and looking at this particular word, life, or eternal life, and what that impact had on us individually. How did eternal life impact us? What was the effect of that? And John 3:16 in the King James, it says, "For God so loved the world that he" what? "He gave his only begotten Son that" what? "Whosoever believeth in him," in Jesus, "should not" what? "Should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that word life is Zoe. It's the God kind of life. So when we believe, when we believed in our heart and confessed with our mouth the Lord Jesus, eternal life exploded in us. We became, and we're going to go over here to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 and 18. Because this is what happened when eternal life came into us. We became a brand new person, a brand new kind of being, or the King James says, a brand new creature. And it says, "Therefore, if any man" what? "Any man be in Christ," he is what? He is a new creature, a new kind of person. Hallelujah. "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have" what? "Become new." And then verse 18, "And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself," how? "By Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." and verse 19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or holding against them their trespasses, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. That's exactly what we just got done reading in verse in 2 Peter, when it says, you know, we're to go out and tell others the night and day difference he made in your life. So, you know, I think about, and all of us have certain things that we've experienced in life, things we've done, things that, you know, we look back and say, boy, what was I thinking? I was a fool. You know, and some of the ungodly things that we did and the way we acted, you know, I think about it. I know for me, I used to have, you know, I've shared this, I used to have a truck driver mouth. I cursed at everything. Cursed, you know, wasn't that I was mad at everything, but I just cursed. That was just, it flowed out of me like water. Not living water, it was dead water. It was death. And so those words flowed out of me, but the very instant I got saved, I remember coming home that day and working on a sports car that I had, and I did something with a wrench and hit my hand, and normally I would have cursed. Nothing came out. And I just, you know, it arrested my attention because it was so normal for me to curse. And so, you know, something happened. What happened? Eternal life. God took up residence. Love took up residence. And let's look at John 5:24, the Gospel of John. In verse 24, it says, same thing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me does what? Hath. That means you've got it. Hath everlasting life, or Zoe life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from what? Death unto life. Hallelujah. So we've been translated as Colossians 1, 12 and 13 and 14. This is what it says. We've passed from death unto life. Colossians 1, 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath what? Delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So this is a wonderful news that we've been purchased by God and we've received eternal life, and love has come and taken up residence. In Galatians, you know, sometimes we need to stop and when we look at the scriptures, this is God speaking to us. This is his thoughts, his ways, how he sees things, not how man sees it. But Galatians 3:27 through 29 says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have what? Put on Christ. There is neither what? Jew nor Greek. See, he doesn't divide. He doesn't separate based on ethnic lines or any other kind of lines. What else does he go on? There is neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in what? In Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we can see from the scripture, and then of course 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of what? A sound mind. So he gave us eternal life, and when he did that, he took up residence, love took up residence, and we all became one in Christ. That's why, you know, when Pastor Greg and I were sharing a few weeks ago, the motto of this church, where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and the power of God is manifested. That's why, You know, this church has been a beacon of hope. It's been a bastion of the love of God, where different ethnicities, people from different backgrounds, cultures, races, can work harmoniously and love one another and operate in the love of God. For what? For the purpose and mission of the church. So we can go out and reach others and tell of the wonderful news of the gospel. And so we can see also from Romans 5:5, it says, where the love of God has been what? Shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So one of the things that we've been sharing is that the more that you feed on the world's way of thinking, you know, God says, you know, he spoke through the prophet Isaiah, and he said in Isaiah 55:8, he said, for my thoughts are what? Not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. He said, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So his ways of doing things are different. But the more we feed and listen to and embrace the world's way of thinking, then what will happen is our soul and emotions will be fed or nurtured in the world's way of doing things. And what happens? Your flesh will follow right along. If your soul and your emotions get adapted to the world's way of doing things, your flesh will follow right along. It'll get right into agreement. But we have to do what? We have to take God's ways, God's thoughts, and immerse ourselves in that, so it does what? Number one, the first step is that love is evident. When I made a decision to receive Christ, love came into my heart. That we didn't hate people. We don't look down on people. We don't treat people that in a way that's condescending or unloving. We've been affected by the love of God. But when we feed on God's word, this is what we're sharing here, which is what? The incorruptible seed of the word of God. When we feed on that, what happens? Faith comes. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then as we continue to feed, what happens? Our minds are renewed so that we're not adapted or conformed to the world's way. He said, but you are transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can do what? Prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So as we begin to feed upon the word of God, then our heart is changed. What else changes? Our mind changes. So we begin to think like God, speak like God. We become a representative, a visible representative of him here in the earth. Now let's take a look here. We know that love has been, eternal life has come into our hearts, and love has come into our hearts. But let's look at the evidence of this, the new birth, in John 13:34, in the Passion Translation. And this shows us here what we're supposed to do here. It says, so I give you now a new commandment, love each other just as much as I have loved you. Wow. So we're to love how? We're to love each other just as much as he loved us. And verse 35, for when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers. So here, the Lord is saying, this is Jesus speaking, when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another. Well, that's doable, but we're all growing in this area. Have we all demonstrated the same love he has for us to each other? And I would dare say that everyone, you know, I know sitting in his room, we all could raise our hand and say, well, you know, there's times I've fallen short of that. I haven't demonstrated the same love that he demonstrated. But we're growing, And what has to happen? You have to make a choice. You have to make a decision. The Holy Ghost will speak to you and say, you shouldn't have said it that way. You shouldn't have done it that way. You shouldn't have acted that way. Now clean that up. Fix that. And so as we feed upon the Word of God, the times that we miss it will become what? Less and less and less and less and less. Why? Because you're feeding on His ways. We're letting the Word of God transform us. You know, I said this a few weeks ago. If you want a different crop, you're going to have to plant different seed, and you're going to have to water it with some different kind of water. And then you'll get a different crop. So if you're not satisfied, I just say it this way. If you're not satisfied with your love, or your love walk, feed on His Word. Keep meditating on His Word. If you miss it, don't get in condemnation. Just say, Lord, I missed it here. Help me. And keep feeding, keep feeding, keep feeding. You know, this is a process, as we've said. In 1 John 3:9, in the King James, it says, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. Why? Because he is born of God. Well, when we read that in the King James, it says he doth not commit sin. That really just means practice. So when you're born of God and the seed, eternal life, Zoe life, is in your heart, you can't practice sin. You may miss it, but you're uncomfortable. You just, you know, as they say, you feel like yuck, and you cannot stand it when you've missed it. And so you fix it, you clean it up, you ask God to cleanse you of unrighteousness, and you move on, and you keep moving forward. You know, as if you haven't missed it 70 times 7 in one day, then you'll be all right. Just keep moving forward. And let's look at 1 John 4:7, and this is in the Amplified translation. 1 John 4:7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love springs from God, and he who loves his fellow men is begotten, born of God, and is coming progressively to know and understand God, to perceive and recognize and get a better and clear knowledge of Him." Now, this is kind of where I wanted to land on this verse. Verse 8, "He who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know Him, for God is love." And then it continues in verse 9. "In this the love of God was made manifest or displayed, where we are concerned, in that God sent His Son, the only begotten or unique Son, into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation or the atoning sacrifice for our sins." And then verse 11 again. "Beloved, if God so loved us so very much, we also ought to love one another." Glory to God. Now let's look at one of the things that we should be doing is bringing forth fruit. Loving one another and bringing forth fruit. So let's look at John 15. And same theme here. John 15, starting in verse 9. It says in the King James, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Wow. By just obeying and walking in the love of God, this says what? His joy might remain and our joy would be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you, that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. And verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. So what are we supposed to do? We're to love one another. We are to stay connected to the vine. We are to do what? Bring forth fruit that remains. So this says here, if we're looking for fullness of joy, we just found it right here. We have found that no drugs, no alcohol, no possessions that we can acquire can provide lasting joy. So when we act upon his word, when we lay our lives down for Christ, then we receive, when we sacrifice our lives for the gospel. That doesn't mean that we don't have jobs, don't have businesses, but it's not, there's a purpose that God has allowed us to walk these particular paths. And that's to do what? To bear much fruit, to do things that Christ wants us to do with what he's given us. You know, if he's opened up opportunities for you to have a business and to make money, then there's a purpose for that. Yeah, we enjoy the benefits of that. You have a good job, you enjoy the benefits of that, but we're to do something with what we have. We're to invest in that, sow seed into the kingdom of God, into the work of God. Now let's look at, I want to read, take a few minutes and read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. And we want to look at, in the Amplified, we're talking about God is love. God is love. And love has taken up residence. Eternal life has taken up residence. The Word has taken up residence. Love has taken up residence. And it's done what? It's changed us. We've been translated out of darkness. We've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. So 1 Corinthians, starting in verse 4, verse 13, it says, love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It is not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances. And it does what? It endures everything without weakening. Love never fails. Wow. Love never fails. Why? Because God is love. So God can't fail. Never fades out or becomes obsolete or what? Comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. You know, I just had a thought here. I'm thinking, you know, the seasons that we're living in. You know, we're so close to eternity, the return of Christ. We're in the season of that, of his return. And when we look at Matthew 24, and it talks about Jesus on the Mount of Olives, and he's sharing that they're asking, tell us when shall these things be? When shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And he begins to share in that marvelous sharing here. What did he share? He said, many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, or ethnos against ethnos, kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. See, not talking about love here, are we? And then what does it say? Verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And verse 12, and because iniquity shall abound, sin shall abound, what does it say? The love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And then it goes on to talk about this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness and unto all nations, and then the end shall come. And we see that happening. We see iniquity abounding, and the love of many is waxing cold. But we just got done reading over here that in 1 John 3, it says, because his seed remaineth in us, he cannot sin. So this is saying here, because of sin, iniquity is, and because of iniquity, what did it say? It says that the love of many is waxing cold. But God has given us what? A spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. So that's the key. We do not want to find ourselves embracing the world's ways. And I'm going to just share in a few minutes here some things along that line. But let's look at, in the New Living Translation, 1 John 3:14. You know, I like what Brother Hagin used to say. People ask him, you mean to tell me you haven't been sick in 60 plus years? And he said, no, he said, but I sure passed up a lot of opportunities. Well, you know, that same, we get opportunities all the time as we operate and live in this earth realm, in this world, we get opportunities every day to walk in love towards people. In 1 John 3:14 in the New Living, 14 and 15, it says, if we love our brothers and sisters who are believers, it proves that we have passed from death to life. But a person who has no love is still dead. See, this is what this is saying here. Anyone who hates another brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have what? Eternal life within them. Why? Because God has taken up residence. Eternal life, his very nature is in us. He's not a murderer. He is love. And so this says here that, you know, somebody might say, well, I hate that person. Well, that's your flesh and your soul speaking. You know, a lot of times when people say those things, the Holy Ghost is nudging them, saying, there's something rubbing on the inside. And you're uncomfortable, but it's just your emotions and your flesh. Now, 1 John 4:11 in the New Living Translation, it says, dear friends, verses 11 and 12, it says, dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. So his love, as we operate in the love of God, it's a demonstration of God in us. Romans 13:10, in the King James, a very familiar scripture, it says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So where there's no love, there's no unity. And where there's no love, there's no faith. Here's a thought to consider here, just as we're closing with this here. Mark chapter 3 in the King James Version, Mark chapter 3, verses 24 and 25. See, this is where the devil fights. He works at this. What did he do? He worked at getting Eve. It says Adam was not deceived, but Eve was. What did he do? He worked at getting them separated and divided from God. And he's used these techniques to question and create division. And there's nothing new here. But what is Mark chapter 3, verse 24 and 25 in the King James? It says, and if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And this is where the devil fights. He fights to cause us to be divided as a church, could be divided among friends, could be divided amongst in your family. We see the divorce rate, what it is. Division. And so he works this, gets us to be divided on issues because he knows that when there's unity, there is love, and where there's unity, there's strength. And he knows that. And we ought to wake up and start to see this. Romans chapter 8 and verses 6, 7, and 8 shows us a little bit here, some insight here into love and the flesh and the spirit. But the King James Version, it says, Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, to be carnally minded is what? Death. But to be spiritually minded is life. This is word zoe again. Life and peace. Verse 7, because the carnal mind is what? Enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God. Well, what was the commandment, the law, the commandment that God gave us? Walk in love towards each other. So here, this says right here, the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're in the flesh, you're not walking in the love of God. And this is the thing where the devil tries to get us to fuss and to work and get caught up over in the flesh with our emotions and our fleshly thoughts. And so we need to do what? Bring things into subjection unto him. Now let's take a look at the Passion Translation, because love is a decision. So we could see that love, the evidence of love, was the new birth. And then what else did we find out? We see that love is a decision. And let's look at the Passion Translation of Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 1 through 4. It says, "As a prisoner of the Lord, I plead with you to walk holy in a way that is suitable to your high rank given to you in your divine calling. With tender humility and quiet patience, always demonstrate gentleness and generous love towards one another, especially toward those who may try your patience." Verse 3, "Be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you in the bonds of peace." See, he's talking about among all of us, that we're to do what? Guard the harmony of the Holy Spirit among us in the bonds of peace, being one body and one spirit, as you were all called into the same glorious hope of divine destiny. So this says here, we have a choice to make. We're to do what? This says here, demonstrate gentleness and generous love towards each other. Sometimes that may not be easy, but this says here, we have to make a choice to do that. Now let's take a quick look at 1 Peter chapter 4, and I want to just look at this kind of in closing here. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 7 and 8. And Peter writing here in verse 7, it says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Now look at verse 8. "And what? Above all things, have fervent charity," or fervent love, "among yourselves, for charity shall do what? Cover the multitude of sins." So as we operate in the love of God, we're going to not, as we got done reading in verse 13, in 1 Corinthians 13, what does it say? It says, it doesn't take account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. So love will cover a multitude of sins. When we operate in the love of God, there'll be unity, there'll be strength, and we're going to find that we'll put the devil in his place when we operate in the love of God. So one of the things we're going to close here is that we wanted to take a look at that love also, just a last point of making here in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love never fails. So if we operate in the love of God, we will never fail. It will never fail, and we will never fail. So love is the evidence, as we got done sharing, love, we said, is the evidence of the new birth. This eternal life, this Zoe life has come into us, and because of the incorruptible seed that came into our hearts, we love. We cannot continue to practice hatred. We cannot continue to practice division. And so some may still, but we continue to pray for people. We continue to do what? As we got done reading at the beginning of this chapter, that as we do what? We begin to operate in an exemplary life. This is what it says here. We'll begin to show the and reveal with what? What does the scripture say? It says we're a light, we're salt in the earth. So as we begin to operate in the love of God, the light of God will shine on the prejudices and the things that are in this earth that are not godly. And so that evidence of God is what? That his life is evidenced in our life, in our Christian walk. And then what else do we say? It's a decision we have to make. We have to choose to walk in the love of God. And then what else do we say? It's not only just a decision, but love will not. It says shall not. In the margin it says love will not fail. Glory to God. So as we choose to walk in this new life, as we begin to choose, we'll have an impact in society. That, if you just stop, what did Jesus say? He said, because of iniquity and because it abounds, the love of many has waxed cold. So as we begin to, and we can see in society, people are looking for love. And boy, we've got something. We've got the supernatural power of God, the love of God, to extend to this world. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you for helping us walk in a greater measure of the love of God so that we can be used and bear fruit that remains. And every person that we come in contact with, let it be with gentleness and generous love. Let our words be seasoned with salt and love and kindness and not harshness or bitterness. And Father, we thank you that we stand up for justice and we don't rejoice at injustice or unrighteousness, but we rejoice when right and truth prevail. We rejoice when love prevails. And we stand against the works of the devil in the name of Jesus. And we operate in unity and love with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first thing in walking in this new kind of life is doing what Romans 10, 9, and 10 says, that we're to believe that Jesus is the Christ and confess with our mouth that he is the Christ, and we believe that he's been raised from the dead, where we believe that he's the Christ and we believe he's been raised from the dead, and we confess that with our mouth. And so if you do that, the scripture says you shall be saved. You shall do what? You shall receive this new life, this eternal life. The love of God will come into your heart and will change you and fill you with peace and joy and love. And so let's make this profession of faith. Father God, I believe that Jesus came to this earth to die for the sins of mankind, to reconcile man to God through Christ and through his sacrifice. And we thank you, Father, that Jesus did that for me. He took my sins to hell, and he took my sicknesses. And when that was paid for, when sin and sickness was paid for, we were justified. We were made right with God. Jesus was released from hell. We were raised from hell and raised to new life. And I believe that. I believe that Jesus is the Christ. I believe that he raised me from the dead. And I received him as my Savior. I confess him now as my Savior. And I believe that I have been washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And I ask you into my heart, make something new of me. And I believe now by faith that I am saved. If you said that simple prayer, then let us know. Contact us. Say that you accepted Christ on this day. Send us an email or mail us or call us and let us know. And that information is on the screen. And that is the start of your new life. You've become a brand new person in Christ. Glory to God. Hallelujah.